The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold. The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله Our beloved Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has stated Anyone who recites 50 times durood upon me every day I will shake hands with him on the day of judgment. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Welcome dear viewers of Madni channel in the beautiful silsila Blessings of Islam, Faizan-e-Islam. It is written in the booklet published by Maktabatul Madina and written by Amir Ahl-e-Sunnat Damat Barakatuhul Aliya by the name Bimar Abid. That there were two worshippers and both of them had been busy in the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal for 50 years. At the end of 50 years, one of them fell ill. One night he started crying in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal and said, O Allah Azza wa Jal, I had been in your worship for 50 years. But at the end of these 50 years, I have been put in a disease and I have been tested. Oh Allah Azza wa Jal, what is the wisdom behind this test? Allah Azza wa Jal ordered one of his angels to go and reply him on his behalf that, Oh my Banda, whatever worship you did, it was through my tawfiq. I enabled you to worship me. And as far as the bimari or the disease is concerned, so I wanted to elevate your rank and I wanted to take you to the rank of abrar, the real pious people. That's why you have been put in this test and in this disease. And before you, people used to long for diseases and calamities, but you have been given this ni'mat without any demand from your side. Dear viewers of Madni channel, calamities, diseases, troubles, or in Arabic, musiba, these things most of the time are ni'mat of Allah Almighty. And Allah Almighty, when wants to elevate the rank of His bondsmen, He puts them in troubles and He tests them. And through this test, they come out successfully, and then Allah Azza wa Jal raises their ranks and makes them his real friend. As you know, in this silsila, Mufti Muhammad Qasim Al-Attari Al-Qadiri Hafizahullah Ta'ala is always with us, and we ask him questions on a particular issue and he replies us. So let's go to Mufti Sahib and ask him today's first question, that if Shariat or Tariqat, both of them are farz as we discussed in the last silsila. So my question is, so then it must be compulsory to learn the knowledge regarding these two things as well? And if it is compulsory, then how much knowledge we have to acquire to fulfill this farz and this farz, compulsory thing?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In our previous silsila and in many other episodes, we have discussed acquiring the whole knowledge of Sharia and Tariqa is not obligatory upon us. We are in the need of learning that knowledge regarding whom we are in need. For example, what worship is obligatory upon us? It is obligatory upon us to learn regarding that. For example, if Hajj is farz upon us, so now it would be compulsory upon us to learn the commandments of Hajj. And as prayer is farz upon us, so that's why we are in the need of acquiring the knowledge regarding offering prayers. What are obligatory acts in prayer? What are compulsory acts in prayer, what are desirable, what are sunnahs. So learning sunnah is sunnah for us, learning wajib is wajib for us, and learning farz is farz for us. So as far as the matter of tariqah is concerned, so we have told that the whole tariqah is not farz upon us, because like Sharia, as there are many ranks in Sharia, there are many ranks of farz and wajib and sunnah in Sharia, similarly there are many ranks in tariqah as well. Some things in tariqah are desirable, some things are farz, and some things are wajib. So as for example, showing off is haram. So that's why it would be necessary for us to learn regarding showing off, so that we can abstain from that. Sincerity is first, because without sincerity, if we do any worship, that worship is not accepted in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So that's why it would be compulsory upon us to learn regarding sincerity. So now, what is the definition of sincerity? What are the kinds of sincerity? And what are the levels of sincerity? That would be compulsory upon us to learn. And the another things as putting trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla, that so some kinds of that trust is farz for us, and some kinds of that trust is sunnah for us, and some are desirable and some are unlawful, because sometimes it happens we misunderstand the meaning of tawakkul, trust in Allah, and the people follow those kinds of trust in Allah which are not allowed. As if a person sits in his home and he doesn't do anything and he doesn't try to earn anything, and he says, I am putting my trust in Allah Azza wa Jal, and Allah Azza wa Jal will provide my sustenance at my home. No, that is unlawful, that is haram. So that's why some commandments of trust in Allah would be compulsory, some would be sunnah, some would be unlawful. So learning regarding that is necessary for a person, so that he can abstain from unlawful thing and he can act upon farz and wajib and sunnah. So that's why first of all we will see what are the commandments of tariqah are farz upon us, are wajib upon us. So whatever activity is wajib, it would be wajib upon us to learn regarding that. Whatever activity is farz upon us, so it would be farz for us to learn regarding that. And whatever is not farz and wajib, that is only desirable, as a lot of commandments regarding tawakkul and sincerity and being gratitude and being patient. So many things are only desirable. So learning regarding that would be only desirable, not farz and wajib.
Acha Mufti sahab, meaning everything has its purpose. Meaning whatever we do in this world, it must have a goal. If something is we are doing without any purpose, so that is not right. So my question is that, what is the purpose of tariqat? Some people, they say the purpose of tariqat is kashfu karamat. So kashful qulub, kashful qubur, people, they are able to look into the graves and they are able to discover what is the in the heart of other people. So is it the real purpose kashfu karamat, or it just comes when someone is walking on this path, but the real purpose is something else?
Kashfu karamat and like these other things are not the purpose of tariqah, and these are not the demand of tariqah, and these are not desirable things in tariqah. As when we read the statements of Grand Awliya Kiram regarding kashf and karamat, so sometimes they use very severe word regarding that, because mostly it happens when a person gets that kind of skills and that kind of excellences, so sometimes he gets stuck in his place and he doesn't make any progress in the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Because when he has those excellences and those kinds of skills and miracles, so sometimes he doesn't try to make more progress, and he gets satisfied with that and he remains in that place. So that's why some grand awliya kiram has criticized try to get kashf and karamat. We should put all these things in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that Allah, if Allah Azza wa Jalla wills, he will grant us. Otherwise, the main purpose of tariqah is totally different from that. What is that? Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned in the Holy Quran in many verses, and from those verses, our grand scholars and our grand awliya kiram, they have derived that point and purpose from those ayah. What is that? Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned in the Holy Quran, and he is ordering in that ayah to his beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. So what is the purpose of the life of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, who is the leader of leaders of tariqah? So that purpose must be the purpose of tariqah. So Allah Azza wa Jal saying to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَالنُّسُوكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. O beloved, you should say, إِنَّ صَلَاتِي, indeed my prayer, my worships, my life and my death is only for Allah, the Lord of the entire world. So it means the purpose of tariqah to dedicate our whole life for getting the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. When the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal becomes our goal and that becomes our objective of our life, so it means we are following the purpose of tariqah. So the main purpose of tariqah is getting the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that had been mentioned in another ayah as well. Allah Azza wa Jal has said in that ayah, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. Among the people, there is someone who has sold his life, who has sold his nafs, who has sold his life for getting the pleasures of Almighty Allah. ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. So that is the main purpose of tariqah, which has been mentioned with these words, ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. Getting the pleasures of Allah, searching for the pleasures of Almighty Allah. So that is the main purpose of tariqah. And there is another ayah in which Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned very beautifully the purpose of tariqah. And if we go to the depth of that ayah, so really we will come to know what high purpose of tariqah is. Allah Azza wa Jal said to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is again the commandment of Almighty Allah to His beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Wasbir nafsaka ma'alladina yad'una rabbahum bilghadati wal'ashi yuriduna wajha." Keep yourself with those people who call their Lord day and night. Call their Lord day and night. What is the purpose of their calling Allah Azza wa Jal? يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَا. They seek only the pleasure of Allah. They seek only the pleasure of Allah. Now the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being ordered to keep himself with those people who are remembering Allah Azza wa Jal, who are calling Allah Azza wa Jal, and who are worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal day and night. And their purpose of life and the purpose of their worship and calling and all their deeds is only getting the pleasure of Allah. The word which is mentioned in ayah, that is very beautiful. Yuriduna wajha. Yuriduna wajha. They seek the being of Allah. Basically, if we go to the literal meaning of that ayah, so it means they are seeking the face of Allah. They are seeking the face of Allah. But because
Allah Azza wa Jal is free from face and these kind of limbs.
So the interpretation of that ayah is they are seeking the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. So in the light of these three ayah, if we go to the words of these three ayah, in one ayah the word is Lillahi Rabbil Alamin. So that is only Lillah. Just for Allah Azza wa Jal. Just for Allah Azza wa Jal. In another ayah, the word is ibtigha'a marbatillah. Searching for the pleasures of Allah. In the third ayah, yuriduna wajha. They seek the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. So basically, this is the main purpose of tariqah. So other than that, whatever is obtained in tariqah, that would be extra advantage of tariqah, we can say. So that's why, if a person who follows the path of tariqah and he gets karamat, he gets kashf, he gets firasat, he gets some other advantages, so those would be considered as extra advantages of tariqah, not the main purpose of tariqah.
So meaning the real purpose of following the tariqat or acting upon the tariqat is pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, and then kashf and karamat, they are not necessary. But my question is, some people, they start having kashf and karamat and they think that we are right, and this is sign of being right that we are now having kashf and karamat. So my question is that, is it true that if someone starts having kashf and karamat, he is able to see the things which are at distance, or who is able to look inside the graves, and or someone is able to have fast for 40 days, So, is it sign of being on Haq, or other people, those who are not Ahle Haq, they can also have these type of powers or miraculous powers, I would say?
If the person who is showing these kashf and karamat, if he is a pious person and his beliefs are sound, it means totally right according to the beliefs of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, so then if he is showing kashf and karamat, so then it would be the sign of his truthfulness. But if a person is misguided person, he is not, his beliefs are not according to Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah,
and he is not following Islam,
he is not a practicing Muslim, he doesn't offer prayer, and he is neglectful in other commandments of Sharia. So in spite of that, he shows some kashf and karama, so that would be considered as istidraj. Istidraj means Allah Azza wa Jalla has given them some time to do whatever they want to do. So that is only time from Allah Azza wa Jalla, what they have been given from Almighty Allah. So that's why kashf and karamat, basically these things are not the firm signs of being truthful. If a person is his beliefs are right and his deeds are good and he is a practicing Muslim, then he is showing all these kashf and karamat, so then we can consider these as a signs of truthfulness, otherwise not.
So I mean, it means that some people who go to Amilin, and these Amilin, they tell them many things which they themselves don't know. So it means that it is not necessary that if someone is telling you something which you don't know, it is not necessary that that person is truthful. So they should avoid
some things can be obtained through exercise and practices.
Okay.
When a person recites one wazifa again and again, or he does some exercises, so he can obtain those kind of things which are supernatural for the people, which are like supernatural for the people, though there are some hidden reasons behind that. As a magic man can show many things which are looking like a supernatural thing, but those are not like that. Those are totally misguiding things, and those people are misguided people. So that's where we can't confide only upon these things. The main thing is following Sharia. The main thing of analyzing a person or to give any judgment regarding a person, the main thing is only Sharia. If the person is the follower of Sharia and his beliefs are right and his actions are right, so then we will say something good regarding that person. Otherwise, the magic man can show many things in front of people, but due to that, they can't be considered as awliya kiram, as a pious people.
So, Mufti Sahib, as the real purpose of tariqat is to seek pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, so whatever a person who is following tariqat is doing, he must do for sake of Allah. But if someone sits for 40 days, recites a certain wazifa, and he wants to get supernatural powers, he wants to have kashf or karamat, so my question is, after this 40 days exercise, will he be given any reward, or because of his wrong intention, although he is reading ayat of Quran or Zikrullah, he won't be given any reward? His intention is not to seek pleasure, but to seek kashf and karamat.
Basically, sometimes one person has many kind of intentions. Sometimes there is only one intention, sometimes there are many intentions. For example, if we recite any wazifa for getting rid of any disease, though we are reciting any wazifa for getting rid of that disease, but that time we will earn the reward as well, as there are many wazai which have been mentioned in ahadith. If you recite that, you will get cure from your disease, as reciting Surat al-Fatiha. So Surat al-Fatiha is cure for every disease. So if we recite Surat al-Fatiha for getting cure from any disease, so we will get the reward as well. So it depends upon the intention. Sometimes one niyyah is the combination of many niyyah. One person wanna get kashf and karamat, but along with that, he has intention of getting reward as well. So he might get reward as well. And sometimes a person needs some special skills, unnatural skills. So what is his intention in that? So that the people can consider me as a sahib-e-karamat wali, as a sahib-e-kashf person, and I will look into the heart of people. I can discover the secrets of their family and secrets of that person. So now the intention of this person is totally wrong. So when a person is making intention of getting kashf and karamat, but his intention to be considered as a pious, as a friend of Allah in front of people, so then this intention is totally wrong. So that's why if that is only intention, so that he is not only, he is reciting that wazifa with the intention of showing off, because the end intention of this person is showing off to be considered as a pious person in the eyes of other people. So then this person will be get the sin of showing off. But if a person has some other intentions and he might make some intentions which are lawful according to Sharia, so along with that he makes intention of getting reward from Allah Azza wa Jal, and he makes other intentions, so in that way he can get reward and he can get that excellence as well.
MashaAllah. Acha Mufti Sahab, those who are following tariqat, so what is the importance of Shaykh in their life? Is it compulsory for everyone who is following tariqat to have a Shaykh so that he can follow him?
Basically, tariqa has many kinds.
Ji.
In some kinds, there is no basic need for any peer, any Shaykh. For example, the main purpose of tariqa is to follow Sharia with the whole spirit. So for that purpose, if we read the books of Awliya Kiram, if we read the books of scholars, and if we read the explanation of Quran and Hadith, so I think those books would be enough for us, for that person who wanna follow the path of tariqah, but just for the first kind of tariqah. And sometimes a person has some other intention, more intention. For example, he wanna elevate the rank of his tariqah in the way that the middle level of tariqah he wanna get, purify his heart, adorning that with good qualities, removing bad qualities from his heart. So in sometimes he will be in the need of searching for any peer, he will be in the need of guidance from any Shaykh, because tricks of nafs are abundant, there is no limit for that, so they are immense. So that's why in many places a person will be deceived by Shaitan when he doesn't have any Shaykh who can guide him. So that's why in some places a person needs any Shaykh who can guide him in proper way. Otherwise, in most of the places a person can get guidance from books as well. As we have said regarding Kimay Saadat and Ihya'ul Ulum and Al-Hadika Nadiyya and the other books of Awliya Kiram. But that person should be scholar, because a common person, a common person can't understand these books properly. So if that's why if a person is a proper scholar, he's a complete scholar, and then he reads these books, so then he will get the essence of these books and he would be able to follow these books properly. Otherwise he will be misguided in many places and he will misunderstand the content of these books in many places. So that's why if a person is scholar and he reads these books of Awliya Kiram, in which all the tricks of nafs have been mentioned, and he can analyze the condition of his heart and the condition of his soul, and he can implement the rules and the details of those books upon his condition, so then he can follow the path of tariqah very easily. But might be some occasions he would be in the need of any guide who can guide him in proper way. And the third rank of tariqah, which is regarding divine secrets, and which is regarding the highest level of tariqah,
attaining
marifat, the recognition of Allah Azza wa Jal, so at the highest ranks of tariqah, which are very commonly spoken in the books of tariqah. So if a person wanna go to that path of tariqah, which is the highest rank of tariqah, so then it is impossible to follow that path, to run on that path without the guidance of any Shaykh. If a person goes to that way, so then he will be misguided in every place and he will be deceived by the tricks of Shaitan at every step. So that's why when a person follows that path, Awliya Kiram emphasized and they insist and they order to get bay'ah on the hand of any Shaykh-e-Kamil, so that he can be abstained from the tricks of Shaitan.
Acha Mufti Sahab, I mean, one thing very strange. Those who are following a sheikh, and especially those who are, the third group which you are talking about, things become very difficult for them. Their murshid themselves, they put some sort of trouble on them, they test them, they are, tried in, put in trial in many ways. So what is the reason that these type of murids, they are tested and they are put in trial more than other?
Basically, the higher rank you need, the more difficult exercise you have to do. As if you wanna become SSG commando, so your training would be different. And if you wanna become only a teacher, so your training would be different. If you wanna become an ordinary spy, so your training would be different. So it depends upon your purpose. It depends upon your goal. The higher goal you have, so the higher training you need. So that's why those people who get better on the hands of Awliya Kiram for getting the highest rank of Tariqa, so then their purpose is very high, so they need very difficult and very high training as well. So that's why they face a lot of trouble, they have to face a lot of humility sometimes from the common people, but they are commanded from their peers have to do that. They have to go to sometimes they have to thief some things so that the people can catch him and they humiliate him.
Yes.
And so through that all the arrogance is removed from their heart.
Yes.
So for that purpose, though they are not they are not thieves and they are not stealing the things, but just showing to the people that they are stealing some things from the people so that the people can catch him, they can arrest him, they can beat him, they can humiliate him. So in that way, the arrogance will be removed from the heart of that person. And we can imagine how speedily the arrogance will be removed from the heart of that person.
Very wonderful answer. Dear viewers of Madri channel, the essence of Mufti Sahab's answer is that if you want to attain the heights of and the heights of closeness to Allah Azza wa Jal, it is only possible when you are put in trials and then you are tested and then you come out successful, and then Allah Azza wa Jal makes one His wali. So dear viewers of Madri channel, if any one of you is in any sort of test or trial, don't worry, think and believe and trust in the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. It is possible that because of this test or trial or this disease, Allah Azza wa Jal will grant you special closeness, and on the day of judgment you will be given special rank just because of observing patience in that particular calamity. Acha Mufti Sahab, then there are two groups, meaning ulama and sufia. And those who want to follow tariqat, they go to mashayikh and sufia. So why don't they come to the ulama? Ulamas are not able to give the spiritual training or tariqat, whatever you say.
Being scholar is compulsory for a shaykh. If a shaykh is not a scholar, he doesn't deserve to be a shaykh.
That is the first step.
Because without knowledge, it is very obvious thing, without knowledge, how can someone guide other people? When the person is ignorant person, he doesn't have knowledge, how can he guide other people? So that's why being scholar is compulsory for a sheikh. If a person is not scholar, he can't become a sheikh. The first thing. The second thing is that because now we see in every field of life, they are specialization. A person is specified in one field. So they choose one field and then they work in that. As what the one person who is a warrior in Islamic army, so he can't become a peer, he can't sit in his khanqa to guide the people. He has to go to war place. So one person can't fulfill the needs of the lives of every person. So that's why we need some scholars who can teach people the commandments of Sharia so that the people can follow them. We need some mashayikh as well who can guide people in spiritual matter so that the people can purify their hearts. So that is the matter of specialization. Some people are specialized in some field, some the other people is specialized in another field. Otherwise, if a scholar wanna become a Kamil Sheikh, so he can become very easily, and we are observing there are many scholars, though they are scholars of Tarsil-e-Nami, they are scholars of Sharia, but they are Sheikh-e-Kamil as well. They guide people in spiritual matters, and they teach people the Sharia commandments as well. So scholar can become Sheikh very easily, but for Sheikh it is very difficult. For become a Mufti and for become a Muhaddis and a Mufassir, it is very difficult for him. So, but because the inclination of people, the tendency of people is something strange. They go to those people who are disinterested in worldly wealth, in worldly matters, and who are away from the people, and they are at their homes, or they are in their khan, they sit in their khankas, and they just repeat tasbihat again and again. So the people have love with those people because these people remember Allah Azza wa Jal, and in the mind of people, the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal is only in the form of tasbihat and azkar and aurad and wazaif. So when they look these pious people who are reciting tasbihat and who are reciting the Holy Quran, so the common people consider those people as pious and as awliya kiram. So that's why their inclination go toward those people. And because scholar, so they run their life in orderly way, and they go and they do their worldly activities as well. So the people don't have that tendency towards these people. So that's why the people go to Mashayikh and go to Peer Sahiban. Otherwise, any Sheikh, it is necessary for a Sheikh to become a scholar, and it is possible for a scholar to become a Peer.
Acha Mufti sir, what I can infer or derive from your answer, that is that it is necessary for a Wali to be a Alim. But what I have, and you also must have observed, that there are many Waliya Ikram, they were not Alim. So you are saying that it is compulsory for a Wali to be Alim. So how would you prove your point?
Basically, the meaning of Alim is not clear in our mind.
Ji.
That's why we have that suspicion regarding those people.
Ji.
How can they become, how did they become Wali when they are not scholar? So the meaning of scholar is not clear in our mind. What is the meaning of scholar? Scholar is that person who knows all the commandments regarding his own life. He knows how to offer prayer. If zakat is farz upon us, upon him, he knows what amount he has to pay as zakat. If hajj is compulsory upon him, so it would be, so and he needs learning the detailed commandments of hajj. Okay, some other commandment. So the first condition for a scholar is to learn whatever is necessary for that person. The second commandment is that he must know all the beliefs of Islam. He must have the knowledge of all the beliefs of Islam, because without knowing the beliefs of Islam, he can make any mistake anywhere. And if he makes any mistake in the matter of belief, he will be misguided. A misguided person can't become a wali and sheikh sahab. So, and the third condition, that if any matter occurs to him, if any religious matter occurs to him, he would be able to read, he would be able to learn the commandment regarding that matter from books. He can read any books, he can ask any person, so that he can get the knowledge of that specific matter which has occurred him now. So that is the definition of scholar. So now we are discussing regarding those people, in the eyes of common people, they were not scholars, but they became wali. So how did they become wali when they were not scholar? So I would say, basically, those people were scholar. They were not the scholar of Dars-e-Nizami, they were not the scholar of madrasa education. So madrasa education or learning Dars-e-Nizami is not compulsory. As Sahaba-e-Kiram were scholars.
Ji.
The companions of Holy Prophet were scholars.
Ji.
And Tabi'in, the follower of Sahaba-e-Kiram, they were scholars, and they were Mujtahideen. The highest rank of scholars, they were those people, and they didn't learn from any madrasa, they didn't learn any specific education, But from Sahaba Ikram they learn, and Sahaba Ikram learn from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the main thing is learning Islamic knowledge, not learning from any madrasa. So the people about whom we are discussing, we are considering, we know regarding those people that they didn't learn from any madrasa. That's why this suspicion comes to our mind, when they didn't learn from any madrasa, how could they become scholar? So basically, the answer is this, that they knew all the commandments regarding their own lives, and they were able to learn new commandments from books and from people, and their beliefs were right, and they had the knowledge of all the beliefs of Islam. So when three conditions of scholar were found in those people, that's why they were scholar, and when they were scholar, they became awliya kiram. So that's why that is only misconception in the minds of people regarding the definition of scholar, and that's why they misunderstand the matter. And sometimes it happens, that is mentioned in Bahari Shariat, I think that is in Bahari Shariat. Sometimes Allah Azza wa Jal made a person as his friend, as a wali. Before that, that person was not scholar. But then Allah Azza wa Jal chose that person as his friend and wali, Allah Azza wa Jal grants knowledge to that person first, then he makes him wali after that. So that is a tradition in the field of wilaya, that whenever Allah Azza wa Jal wala make a person wali, before that he grants knowledge to him, then he makes him wali.
Subhanallah, very beautifully Mufti Sahib explained that every wali is alim, and if he was not a formal alim, then it is Allah Azza wa Jal who grants him special knowledge, and without any madrasa, without graduating from any jamia or any madrasa, Allah Azza wa Jal grants him that knowledge, that because of which he becomes alim, and then he qualifies for the rank of wilayat as well. Acha Mufti Sahab, as you told us that murshid is very important and it plays a very vital role in the life of a murid or a follower of tariqat, so what are the basic conditions for a murshid, that if these conditions are found, then he will be able to taken as a murshid? Otherwise, if these conditions are not found, he will not be murshid.
Basically, there are two kinds of mashayikh, and there are two kinds of bayat. The bayat what we do on the hands of mashayikh uzam, so that is two kinds. The first kind is bayat-e barkat, and the second is bayat-e iradat. For bayat-e barkat, there are four conditions which are needed in that shaykh, and for bayat-e irada there are some other conditions as well. For the shaykh of bayat-e barkat, there are four conditions. First condition, that shaykh must be Sunni. His beliefs must be according to the beliefs of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaah. Otherwise, he doesn't deserve to be a shaykh. The first condition. The second condition, what we have mentioned now, the shaykh must be a scholar. And the definition of scholar we have discussed. What is the meaning of scholar? So the shaykh must be a scholar. The third thing, that he must be a practicing Muslim. He must not be a fasiq. He must not be a transgressor and sinner of major sins, and he doesn't commit major sins and minor sins repeatedly. So he must be a practicing Muslim. And the fourth condition is that his chain of silsila would be connected, that he has khilafah from his shaykh, and his shaykh has khilafah from his shaykh. So in that way, his chain of silsila would be connected with the chain of his mashayikh uzam. These are four conditions which must be found in any shaykh to be a shaykh kamil. But that shaykh is the shaykh of bayat-e barka, whose bayat is done for getting barakat of this world and barakat of hereafter. The other shaykh, which is called shaykh-e iradat, and he is the shaykh of bayat-e iradat. So because that shaykh has to guide his follower, he has to guide his disciple on the path of tariqah, he has to teach some things to his follower, to his disciple, and he has to remove the bad qualities from the heart of his disciple. And if any wrong thing occurs to his follower, so that follower has to contact his sheikh, and this sheikh has to answer him to rectify his problem, to rectify his condition. So that sheikh of Bay'ati Iradat has to guide at every step of tariqah. So that's why that kind of sheikh needs some other things as well, because this person has to do many things. So that's why this person must be a trained, first of all, he must be a trained follower of his own Sheikh Sahib, so that he had passed through all those trees and all those those paths and trends which can occur to his follower. So that the first thing. The second thing is that he has the ability of guiding his disciples, because sometimes a person is trained, but he doesn't have ability to guide other people. It is very common thing. Yes. Sometimes one person, majzoob is a different matter. Yes. That is a different kind of awliya kiram. Yes. Other than that, yes. But that is also that can be given as example as well. Yes. But sometimes a person is a trained person, but he doesn't have ability, because for guiding other people, some other things are needed. One person was trained from his father in a very good way, but that father is not a good father for his children. It happens. The person was trained very beautifully, but he was unable to train his children, because he doesn't have those qualities. Through, in the light of those qualities, he can train his children. So similarly, sometimes it happens with sheikh as well. The sheikh is trained, has been trained from his sheikh, but he doesn't have quality. Sometimes due to the situation of area, the people are very rude and they are very bad mannered and they are very short tempered people. So for those kind of people, the sheikh must be a very polite and kind and affectionate and merciful for them. But if the person is if the sheikh is on the highest level of temper than that, so how can he guide those people? So that's why the sheikh of second kind must be trained, and he must have ability to train other people, to guide other people.
MashaAllah. Dear viewers of Madani channel, what we learn from Mufti Sahib now, that is that there are four compulsory conditions which must be found in a sheikh, and that is the sheikh with which we make Bayatul Barakat. And those four conditions are that he must have correct beliefs, or in short words, he must be Sahihul Aqidah Sunni. Number two, he must be alim. And what is the definition of alim? Just in the previous question, we have discussed. And then number three, he must not be fasik. And fasik means a person who is openly committing major sins, or that person who is continuously busy in committing minor sins. Number four, his spiritual chain must be properly connected. It means that each sheikh from that spiritual chain has taken the permission from his sheikh. So when these four conditions are found, only then a person qualifies to be a murshid. So dear viewers of Madani channel, the lesson which we learn from this answer of Mufti Sahib, that you have to see these four conditions, that after satisfying yourself, after watching these four conditions fulfilled in that particular person, only then you step forward to make bayat on his hands. Otherwise, if any of these sharaits are not fulfilled, not found, then bayat with him will not be right and correct. Acha, Mufti Sahib, what are the basic responsibilities of a murshid? What we commonly observe, people think that murshid is a person, you go to him and he makes dam on you, or he writes taweez for you. So are these the basic responsibilities, or there are some other responsibilities as well which are on the shoulder of a murshid?
The basic responsibility of a sheikh is to guide people towards Allah Azza wa Jal, towards the closeness of Allah Azza wa Jal. And their basic responsibility is to remove the love of this world, to remove the love of wealth, to remove the love of name and fame from the heart of the person, and to purify their hearts from bad qualities, as jealousy, arrogance, envy, and other bad qualities and spiritual diseases, to remove these qualities is the responsibility of a sheikh. Because when we discuss the matter of tariqah, the definition of tariqah, we say the purpose of tariqah is tazkiyah nafs, to purify the baser self. So who will do that duty? So now it would be the responsibility of a sheikh to do tazkiyah nafs of his disciple, means to purify the nafs, to purify the heart of his disciple from bad qualities and spiritual diseases. And now it would be his duty to ask about the condition and to look at the condition of his disciple again and again, and he guides him at the proper time and tell him the sickness of the heart, the sickness of, and regarding those disease. That would be the duty of a sheikh. And the another duty is to fill the heart of his disciple with the love of Allah Azza wa Jal. To fill the heart with Allah Azza wa Jal, that is the main responsibility of a sheikh. Because when a disciple comes to the court of his sheikh, why does he come? He comes for getting something. He comes for attaining something. What is that? That is love with Akhirah, love with Allah Azza wa Jal, and love with paradise. So when he is coming for attaining these qualities, so now it would be the duty of sheikh to provide him these qualities and to pour these qualities into his heart. So that would be the duty. And in other words, we can say to train his disciple, to make him a practicing Muslim, to give him awareness regarding Sharia and Tariqah, and to show him the path of Tariqah, and to give him some details of the path of Tariqah, what is Tariqah and what is the purpose of our life and what is demanded from us from Allah Azza wa Jal. So about these kind of things, a sheikh tells and teaches his disciples. So these are the main responsibilities of a sheikh.
Jazakallah Mufti Sahab. Dear viewers of Madri channel and sweet Islamic brothers, the real purpose of tariqat is to seek pleasure of Almighty Allah. And no one can attain the pleasure of Almighty Allah unless and until he follows Sharia. And what is Sharia? Sharia is to fulfill the faraiz and wajibats, the compulsory things and obligatory things. And then another thing which Mufti Sahab highlighted in this silsila, especially at the end of the silsila, and that is the real responsibility of a murshid is to fill the heart of his disciple with the love of Allah Azza wa Jal and his beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So if you have made bayat with someone and you see that your heart is filled with the love of Allah Azza wa Jal and his beloved Prophet, and then this love is increasing day by day, then congratulations for you that your murshid is kamil and you are following a true murshid. May Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal give us tawfiq to be practicing Muslim and give us tawfiq to become the real lover of Allah Azza wa Jal and his beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam. Ameen, ameen, bijahin nabil, ameen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold. The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold.